And so we wanted to get Tom Hartzell from the Auto Value Super Sprints to clarify, to give you a little backstory. Troy Decker crosses the line, was the first one to cross the line, but didn't win the feature Saturday night at Kalamazoo. And Tom, I really appreciate you joining us. Tom, why don't we explain to the listening audience, what was the situation with the final restart with, it was about a dozen laps to go, with Decker, and why was he penalized two positions?
Well, understand, the racing was very, very good the other night at Kalamazoo, and Troy Decker is probably one of the best young drivers there is in the United States today. I put him and JoJo Hellberg and Jason Blonde and some of the young chargers of the sprint car racing world right at the top of the heap. And, you know, I'm not a racer, okay? I'm a business person. I'm an announcer. And I cannot tell you what the adrenaline rush must be in the cars while they're going anywhere from 130 to 180 miles an hour, depending on the track that they're at. I can't imagine how fast their mind is working. And, you know, Troy, I know, setting out in front, there's just no doubt in my mind, the individual that he is, had to be just freaking out, I guess, for lack of better words, at how am I going to keep these guys off of me here? And, you know, I guess I got to thinking about it this weekend, and I kind of put it in perspective. I love drag racing, too. You know, when I get away from the sprint cars and the stock cars and everything else, I like watching John Force and all the crew in drag racing. And, you know, they go up against the light. And when you're out on the track like that, you have to make a split-second decision on what you're going to do. And I mean actually split-second. And, you know, Troy with the will to win and any other driver that might have been in that position probably, and there again, I'm kind of reading something into it because I've never been in the seat of a sprint car other than in a parade. But they got to be thinking, how can I keep the competition off of me here? And in perspective, I kind of put it in perspective with the tree in drag racing that, you know, when that light goes from red to green, there's a split second there, and you are counting down, you're calculating how quickly that's going to happen, and sometimes you get beat, and sometimes the light gets you, and you get disqualified. And I got to believe that that's probably what was going through Troy's mind. We have preached and preached and preached at every driver's meeting for the last 4 years about starting at the cone, starting nose to tail. We don't allow lagging back. We don't allow jump starts. You got to go to the cone. We have a tech person that stands right there. He watches the start of every race. He watches all the restarts at that cone. And we've preached that every driver's meeting. And we have one every week or every racing night. And, you know, the bottom line to the Auto Value bumper-to-bumper super sprints, and I got to believe any other sanctioning body out there, is safety. And we don't want anybody piled up. These guys have got a tremendous amount of money wrapped up in these machines, and, you know, we try to keep the safety factor as foremost in importance in what we do. And in researching a little bit of history on this rule, and I got to tell you, it's under Race Procedures Rule Application, Race Starting Procedure is the heading. And it's number 7, and you can get on the website. It's not a hidden by any way, shape, or form, but it says you will be penalized 2 positions on the next available restart or at the finish of the race if the pole car, inside or outside, picks up speed before the designated starting spot on the track. That would be the orange cone in turn number 4. A competitor that jumps on any start or restart will be penalized a minimum of 2 spots. If you jump more than 1 car, you'll be scored as the last car on the lap you complete. Jumping is any part of your car, even with any part of the car in front of you, before the lead cars have reached the designated spot. Single-file restarts must be nose-to-tail, talked about that, and competitors should consider that jumping is a judgment call and is not reversible. This call is made from the perspective of the Auto Value bumper-to-bumper super sprint officials. And in this situation the other night, I got to tell you, nobody disliked this more than Tom Hartzell and the rest of the crew. Richard Feeler is probably one of the nicest owners I have ever met in my life. And to see the pain in his eyes when this all transpired and see the disappointment in Troy's eyes was phenomenal. But we all have to live by a set of rules. I don't care whether it's in our everyday lives, in our cities, our towns, our businesses, our employers. We have rules to live by. And when we don't live by those rules and something happens, sometimes we get punished. And unfortunately, Troy was in that situation. The adrenaline, I'm sure, was flowing. And it wasn't a split-second decision. There was four of the officials seeing it. And it happened. And so the call was made. Unfortunately, we don't have, we didn't have real good communication at the end of the race the other night, because I come down out of the tower and, jumped out on the track. There was people there. I just went right to Troy's car and didn't talk to anybody. We were trying to push for time. It was getting a little bit late. I mean, there was a lot of circumstances that caused some problems here, per se. I interviewed Troy, first place, da-da-da-da-da. That's history now. And when I got done, I had even went to Joe and talked to him, and then I found out that Troy had jumped the start. Now, I had seen it. There was no doubt in my mind what he had done. And I have tried very hard as the owner of the Auto Value Bumper-to-Bumper Super Sprints not to micromanage my management group. And I got in a lot of trouble in the early years after I bought it from Tony Nozel, and I learned not to do that. So I didn't say anything. That's why I pay these people. And it come down that it happened. At that point in time, there was a lot going on. And I'm not one to put our dirty laundry, per se, out in the public. It needs to be back in the pits. The fans, they don't need to be involved in some of the politics of racing. And you know what I'm talking about. People that are around racing know what I'm talking about. It's just some of the things don't need to be out front. And so it all went back into the pit area. We worked on it from there. We had some discussion back there. Everybody was in agreement as far as the management team of what happened. And unfortunately, Troy got caught tonight. Like I said, it's no different than a John Force or some of the other professionals that get caught under red light in drag racing. It happens. And I feel bad for the guys. I feel bad for the team. But we have rules that we have to live by, and that's why that call was made. I can't say it any more plain than that. It's written. We've preached it. We preach nose to tail. I know we've caught a little bit of heat here in the last day or two in some of the media about changing the way we start. Since this group was formed back in the old sod days, and this was way before my time, it come along through some several folks. Jack and Rose Calabresi ran the group for a while, and they had that rule. And, whether it was enforced or not, I don't know, because it was before my time. But it was in place that you always go to the cone, nose to tail, starts out at number four, and we run. Now, let me expand on that a little bit. Talked about this rule a couple years ago. And we talked about possibly changing the rule to throw the yellow flag and restart the race. But the reason they didn't feel, and the board of directors did this, and the board of directors is made up of racers, drivers, that it could cause some serious accidents. So they decided that the penalty would be at the first caution or at the end of the race.
And I guess here's the thing from the fans' perspective, though. I mean, you're going to make the call. I was still just surprised that the communication broke down so poorly someone didn't try to pull you aside and go, hey, this guy didn't win
it was mass chaos down there, as and just it didn't happen. Whether it was right or wrong, it didn't happen. And again, I apologize to the fans for the way it happened, but we do have rules.
Oh, shoot. We just lost Oh, we just lost the phone computer. I am going to cut to commercial right now. That wasn't anything on purpose. We just lost the phone computer. Just went for literally a head-on crash into the wall. So let me go ahead and get rebooted here, and we're going to get Tom back. But we're going to go back to a commercial break, and then we'll get Tom back on the line. So I apologize for the technical difficulties. We'll be back here at TJ Sideways Live in just a moment.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at EngineProParts.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro.
If you're looking to add a little edge to your racing program, repair your engine, maybe even look into a new engine, Bailey Racing Engines of Coldwater, Michigan is a fine supporter of TJSlideways.com. Visit them online at BaileyEngines.com or call them at 517-278-8488.
Tired of having black headers that rust and wear out too quickly? Then you need to get some Rocket Headers. Rocket Header produces exhaust for 360 and 410 sprint car engines, dirt and pavement, with mufflers and turnouts. Stainless steel construction, TIG welding, and polished finish make Rocket Headers the best value in the open wheel racing exhaust market. For more information on where to buy Rocket Headers, visit their official website at rocketheaders.com.
TJ Buffenbarger here for the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa. The Hall of Fame continues to promote the future of sprint car racing by preserving its past. The museum is located in Knoxville, Iowa, and is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday from noon to 5 p.m. On race nights, the museum will stay open until 7 o'clock. Don't forget, race fans, one of the best ways that you can support the Hall of Fame is buying a membership. They start at just $25, and a basic membership gets you and a guest free admission to the museum and a 10% discount off in the museum store. Also, check with the Hall of Fame for suite tickets on the second and third floor for the 2013 Knoxville season. You can get information on all of this by going to SprintCarHOF.com, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame.
If you're looking for new or used shocks or repair for your shocks or bump stop kits, make sure to check out Slade Shock Technology. Eric Slade has experience from sprint cars to NASCARs. He was in shocks before it was trendy, and now that's the hot thing in racing. You need to get your shock program in shape. Visit www.sladeshocktechnology.com for everything they offer. Slade Shock Technology. Get with the program. Get your shocks in shape.
There's a buzz in the bleachers, a rumble on the pavement, and the sweet smell of sprint car speed is in the air as Muncie Racing brings you the fastest short track event on earth. Watch as the most daring lead foots in the land stand on the gas and rocket around one of the fastest half miles in America. There are records to be broken and racing royalty in the pits. It's a flat-out, foot-on-the-floor sprint car fiesta, and you can't find this brand of adrenaline-soaked action anywhere else.
Friday Night Thunder returns to Oshwegan Speedway for the 2013 season, featuring the Corpac Sprint Car Series, Thunderstocks, Mini Stocks, and Bombers every Friday night. For more information, call 888-720-7223 or visit OshweganSpeedway.com for more information.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at EngineProParts.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro. Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at EngineProParts.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro.
If you're looking to add a little edge to your racing program, repair your engine, maybe even look into a new engine, Bailey Racing Engines of Coldwater, Michigan is a fine supporter of TJSlideways.com. Visit them online at BaileyEngines.com or call them at 517-278-8488.
Tired of having black headers that rust and wear out too quickly? Then you need to get some Rocket Headers. Rocket Header produces exhaust for 360 and 410 sprint car engines, dirt and pavement, with mufflers and turnouts. Stainless steel construction, TIG welding, and polished finish make Rocket Headers the best value in the open wheel racing exhaust market. For more information on where to buy Rocket Headers, visit their official website at RocketHeaders.com.
All right, we're back on the air here, and we got Tom back. Tom helped me get some chewing gum together, and we got the phone computer back. Tom, thanks for being patient with us.
Not a problem. I love electronics.
Yeah, it's crazy at times. How I make my living, and this thing decided to get a mind of its own for a second. One question from a fan. Wanted to ask. Dave Newman had a question about: is it accelerating actually when they hit that cone per se, or is it a gradual acceleration leading into the cone?
They have to be at the cone before they gas it, and that's one of the things we preached. And again, we want nose to bumper. And, you know, there's no laying back and things like that. Again, guys, I'm not a racer. You know, everything that I've learned from talking to people like yourself or, you know, the drivers, and I question a lot. And they tell me there's little tricks of the trade, you know, and I've seen it at South Bend and some of the other tracks, M40 when I announced there, that I didn't realize what was going on. I've seen it in the sprint cars. That, like laying back, the guys will lay back and then they'll gas it at the last minute. Again, a timing thing. And they've got momentum when they get to that cone. Well, that is not tolerated with us, and that's one of the things we look for. So it's just, I understand the competition. Don't get me wrong. I fully can appreciate that. There's not a bigger competitor in life than Tom Hartzell as far as in games and things like that. Just ask my kids. I'd never play a card game with them because I went to win. They weren't going to win, you know, and I understand that. But there are rules that we have to live by. And unfortunately, the other night, the rule bit Troy. You know, he chanced it. He thought maybe he'd be right there at the cone. He wasn't. And this, again, I use John Force in the Christmas tree in drag racing. Sometimes you win. Sometimes you lose.
Do you think you guys are going to?
Unfortunately, it's a cold hard fact.
So maybe there's a check process in place so we don't put the wrong guy in victory lane again.
Well, yeah, I don't know. I don't know the answer to this. You know, it's a very legitimate question. I feel bad about it. Again, as I told you, I don't like airing my dirty laundry in public. And it was a little bit tense everywhere the other night. So, I mean, there was a number of things why I wouldn't have done it then. But we needed to converse with the group. I wanted all the people that worked for me to come together and collectively make that decision. We have had some rocky road this summer. I'm going to be flat out and tell you that because we haven't been consistent with the rules. I had a meeting just a week before. We called everybody together on a Sunday afternoon on, you know, their time, and I appreciate them coming, just to talk about things like this. We are a team. There is no individuals in this group. And when a team member makes a call, or if he misses a call, and you've seen it, tell them. You know, there are just, we make rules to live by. And we're human beings. We make mistakes every day. But if we can learn from those mistakes and we can go forward, that's the key. And that was my message to my team that we have to work together. We have to back each other up. We have to look out for each other. And when I got everybody together the other night and four of my team members saw the same thing that I saw, that told me we were right. There is no doubt in my mind what happened. And I think the moment, the adrenaline that Troy was had going on, the will to win, that being the greatest reason, his timing was off just a little bit.
Okay.
And again, Richard Feeler, I felt so bad when I had to tell him the other night. He's one of the nicest guys I've ever met in racing, period. And I just, the look in his eye was just, oh, it was a killer for me. And I don't like things like that. You know, I can be a hard nose, but I can be a pretty tender person too. But I also have to enforce the rules that are governing this body.
All right, we got two more questions for you here. One of them, Do you think this is maybe something we'll revisit during the off season?
Yeah, we'll take a look at it. You know, I don't know the answer. Like I said, it's been in place forever. But the off season is the time to do things like this. One of the things that was suggested, I actually talked to Gary Howe today, and Steve Brown and I are very close at South Bend. I'm going to talk to Steve when I go down there tomorrow. Maybe we'll look at placing the cone on the white line that goes across the track. I don't know. Not all tracks have that we go to. So, you know, I don't want the guys to get used to that either. So, normally, everybody knows, and I spoke to Kevin Feeney today for the first time since. I didn't even talk to Kevin after the show the other night. Kevin called me on some other issues here today about some racing that's coming up, and he said that when he was on the pole, he purposely was looking for that cone. And he said, you know, I was really focusing on that. He said it was because I knew that was the rule. And again, no slam against anybody. Competition's competition. And sometimes you might lose focus of what you really need to be doing at that point in time because you're thinking about who's coming up behind you. Again, I don't know. I'm not a racer.
Yeah.
I guess, yeah, in a nutshell, we'll probably take a look at it as we do a lot of the rules. You know, we see something that needs to be tweaked a little bit, and we'll tweak it before next season.
And something on a little more positive note, you guys might have a schedule change coming up in the next couple of weeks. When might we see the finalized news about that?
I got to believe it's probably going to be in the next week. Dixie Motor Speedway had to cancel some shows because of some structural problems in the grandstand up there, and we're working on another venue. And I talked to Mike today. I think things are going to work out fine, and we'll be making an announcement on the Dixie website as well as, of course, the Auto Value Bumper to Bumper Super Sprint website. The Haas series, we come together as Team Hoosier, and I think this will all work out here. And we'll make an announcement and try to give the fans, you know, a good month notice that this is going to be a change, and we will be entertaining the folks up in the Birch Run area.
Well, that's good news for people on the east side. Well, Tom, I appreciate you coming on under difficult, not the best circumstances in the world, but you came in, and hopefully we'll have something a little cheerier to talk about when we do our Great Lakes season in review at the end of the year.
And boy, I'll tell you what, after some of the stuff I went through this year, it would be a great change for me. Thank you very much.
No problem. Tom, thanks for joining us.
All right, talk to you later.
Woo, the computer stayed together for Tom Hartzell. And we're going to shuffle things around a little bit. We're going to put Troy Dare on next because I want to go bumper to bumper, pun completely intended, with the person that has the call done on them. So we're going to come back with Troy Dare when we come back from break. You're listening to TJ Slideways Live here on RacesOnTheWeb.com.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at EngineProParts.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro.
Engine Pro.
If you're looking to add a little edge to your racing program, repair your engine, maybe even look into a new engine, Bailey Racing Engines of Coldwater, Michigan is a fine supporter of TJSlideways.com. Visit them online at BaileyEngines.com or call them at 517-278-8488.
Tired of having black headers that rust and wear out too quickly? Then you need to get some Rocket Headers. Rocket Header produces exhaust for 360 and 410 sprint car engines, dirt and pavement, with mufflers and turnouts. Stainless steel construction, TIG welding, and polished finish make Rocket Headers the best value in the open wheel racing exhaust market. For more information on where to buy Rocket Headers, visit their official website at rocketheaders.com.
TJ Buffenbarger here for the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa. The Hall of Fame continues to promote the future of sprint car racing by preserving its past. The museum is located in Knoxville, Iowa, and is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday from noon to 5 p.m. On race nights, the museum will stay open until 7 o'clock. Don't forget, race fans, one of the best ways that you can support the Hall of Fame is buying a membership. They start at just $25, and a basic membership gets you and a guest free admission to the museum and a 10% discount off in the museum store. Also, check with the Hall of Fame for suite tickets on the second and third floor for the 2013 Knoxville season. You can get information on all of this by going to SprintCarHOF.com, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame.
If you're looking for new or used shocks or repair for your shocks or bump stop kits, make sure to check out Slade Shock Technology. Eric Slade has experience from sprint cars to NASCARs. He was in shocks before it was trendy, and now that's the hot thing in racing. You need to get your shock program in shape. Visit www.sladeshocktechnology.com for everything they offer. Slade Shock Technology. Get with the program. Get your shocks in shape.
There's a buzz in the bleachers, a rumble on the pavement, and the sweet smell of sprint car speed is in the air. As Muncie Racing brings you the fastest short track event on earth, watch as the most daring legend folks in the land stand on the gas and rock it around one of the fastest half miles in America. There are records to be broken and racing royalty in the pits. It's a flat-out, foot-on-the-floor sprint car fiesta, and you can't find this brand of adrenaline-soaked action anywhere else.
Friday Night Thunder returns to Oshwegan Speedway for the 2013 season, featuring the Corpax Sprint Car Series, Thunderstocks, Mini Stocks, and Bombers every Friday night. For more information, call 888-720-7223 or visit OshweganSpeedway.com for more information.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at EnginePropartsCom. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro.
Welcome back to TJ Sideways Live here at RacesOnTheWeb.com. You know, when it comes to unusual circumstances, we're all in the interest of fair and frivolity. So my next guest is the person that had the jump called on him Saturday night, Mr. Traveling Troy DeCare, joining us on the line. And so, Troy, anything new happening?
Not really, man. Just glad you're for someone like you, TJ, to give the racers, you know, a voice to speak out about what happens, right or wrong.
And now, what happened from your perspective?
My perspective, we went there and did our job and won the race, plain and simple. And I climbed out of the car, I met Tom Hartzell, got interviewed, headed to the scales, and, you know, and I've said this to a few people who've asked me, because I've had probably 100-plus Facebook messages God knows how many Twitter comments. People are asking me the same thing. What's going on? And, you know, they came with me and said, hey, we're docking you for jumping the start. And I, like, kind of laughed and, like, you know, touched him on the shoulder, like, how, you know, like, and then they're like, no, there's an issue. And then I saw Tom, and Tom said there's an issue. And I was like, you know, as a competitor, as an athlete, as a racer, you know when you force the issue. You know when you're walking on that line. You know when you're doing something. Legitimately, in this particular case, I was blindsided by the call. I was like, they're kidding me. And, we won the race and got paid for third.
And when you're coming in to the restart zone, I guess I don't have to, this is a dumb question, you don't feel like you started early at all?
Well, not really. I after the track photographer came to me and said, hey man, I got something you might want to see, and told me to watch the video. After watching the video, I became more passionate about it because I was like, man, I got a damn good restart. Like, you know, I was coming to the cone, like there's a line, and then there's the cone where Spigot stands, is this little guy who's their official. And I started to brake to load the car, you know, I like to power brake a little bit. And as I aim, and I really wasn't too concerned about firing early or getting a jump, because when that last caution came out, I was coming off two, and Feeney and JoJo were heading into three. I was about to lap them. And I was like, whoa, I guess my car's pretty good. So, you know, I wasn't sitting there. I was just like, hey, go put together 9 good laps and collect your check. And they saw things differently than, I guess, every single person in the grandstands and every other driver, every other team, and apparently everybody else who's messaged me on Facebook. Those four quote-unquote people that saw this, I guess, seen something a little different than the majority.
At what point did they tell you?
Probably 20 minutes out. I mean, sat on the front straightaway, took a picture, hung out, talked to some kids, rolled the car to the scales. We were waiting for officials. We're like, hey, can we weigh this thing? And then that's when I found out. And when I found out, I looked around to the race director, never found the race director, and then I was later informed when he heard about the call, even though Tom told me he was one of the guys who made the call, Dwayne Turner, he had resigned and left. So there was no race director there to tell me I was disqualified. I had to find out from a corner worker and then the flagman that I allegedly jumped by 100 feet.
Troy DeCare joining us on the line. And Troy, here's an interesting question, because I just thought of this one off the cuff. What in the world do you say to your car owner when this happens?
Well, you know, as you said, Mr. Feeler is probably one of the most stand-up, straight-up guys there is. And I asked him, I said, hey, did I do something wrong? And, like, did I cost the team the win? Like, because... like he said, the look in Dick's eyes and the look in Brad Brewer and Dave Newman and, you know, Big Mike, and these guys are all looking at me like, what do we do? You know, and I'm looking at them like, did I let them down? Did I do something wrong? And they're assuring me that I didn't. And I'm like, you know, Tom, being a promoter and, you know, just never owning a race car, never being a driver, I'm not real sure where he came from, actually, and not being in that position, not knowing that passion, not knowing the work it takes Monday through Friday to put a car on the racetrack, not understanding that, you know, what we go through as competitors, and then to come up with something that, in my eyes, actually was irrelevant, you know, based on the margin of victory, you know, for that to come into place and to cost not me, but cost Dick and cost Brad, and you know, tell those guys, like, hey, you didn't win, guys. And aside from that, like, I want to take a second to apologize to everybody who came to Kalamazoo who had to climb in their car and drive home without knowing. Did my guy win? Did your guy win? Who won? Like, are we mad? Are we happy? Who do we cheer for? Are we, you know what I mean? Like, people come down, take pictures. People come down, shake my hand. And then they find out on Monday, they go to the computer that, oh, just kidding, your driver didn't win. You know, I want to apologize to those people. I'm sorry that they got the wrong end of the deal, but, you know, I don't really know what to say to my crew, to the fans, to anybody. I don't know what to say to other drivers who out of 23 came over came over all but two or three and told me, hey, man, sorry, you got screwed.
Do you think it would have changed your opinion of it if the rule was in place to where they would have thrown a caution flag and then docked you?
Absolutely. I mean, I still would have been pissed because I didn't jump. I mean, there's video. I even went to Tom and said, hey, watch the video. I'm not going to watch the video. The call's already been made. But I would have at least liked the opportunity to race for my position. Instead, I mean, I'm a pretty straightforward guy. I'm a pretty hard racer, and I've lost a lot more races than I'm ever going to win. And I want to win my races on the racetrack. I don't like getting passed in the pits. And when I had second place JoJo Elberg and third place Kevin Feeney both looking at me like, man, I don't know what they're doing to you. Well, okay, why don't we just nip it in the butt right there and just say, hey, look, if second and third, the only two advanced positions, think you're maybe out of line, why don't we just, like, save ourselves some face here and fix this? Or, you know, and I asked them directly to their face, you know, hey, let's be, you want to be a man? Tell me, hey, I jumped the start. Tell me when, tell me where, and none of that ever happened. But if they went through a yellow, put me back to third, we still had the car to win the race. We still could have got our position and maybe made it a little more exciting for the fans. But I'm with you, TJ. I agree that the fans deserve to see the winner cross the line.
Do you think if they throw cautions like that for restarts, it would be more conducive to tearing up cars?
I don't think. I mean, if you were scared about wrecking a race car, you shouldn't own one. And, you know what's conducive to wrecking race cars? Unloading it. So if you have a race car, you should race it. If you're a racer, you should race. If you're worried about tearing up your car, own a hot rod and go to the McDonald's on Sunday and show it at a car show. That's what I think.
Troy DeCare joining us. That might be one of the best lines I've ever heard on this show. So now that this has all gone down, how has it changed your schedule for the 2013 season?
Well, I mean, basically, you know, we're leading the Haas points, and it's nothing against the Haas guys because, you know, I just basically lost a bunch of money this weekend. And, you know, ended up staying there for 3 hours already and lost some flight money, yada, yada. None of that matters. But I'm not going to travel back to Indy this week to race the Haas race. You know, and I feel a little bit bad for those guys. And I told Tony Swanson, I said, well, you know, I hear the announcer for AVSS say that you two are joined together and you guys are one series. Yet I see Tony Swanson at every AVSS race. I've never seen Tom Hartzell at a Haas race this season. I've been to every race for all three series. And maybe they forget that when I was the only team to make the travel to Berlin the day before Winchester. You know, so I'm just going to sit out, take care of the people who take care of me, and Jim Hanks and Musty always make sure I'm taken care of, always make sure I got what I need, and, you know, focus on what I need to be focused on. I'm going to stay here, try to make some money, and not try to buy any plane tickets and, you know, have some mythological red lights pop up in my future.
Are any are your hometown fans going to be able to still see you at some point this season down in Florida?
Not real sure. I'm just going to pop around whenever I can. Right now I'm focused on trying to get to work and try to make some money. A lot of rain outs this season has kind of killed me. So, you know, real focused on trying to zero in on that Muskie championship. We had a DNF earlier in the season that put us behind there, so we got some work to do. And, you know, Mr. Wheeler and Brad Brewer and Dave Newman, those guys, they're working hard right now trying to make sure I have the equipment to do that. And I just want to make sure I can take them to a venue where their efforts will be, you know, will pay off.
Last question for you. What would it take for you to go back to an AutoValue Super Sprint show?
Oh, man. What would it take?
think carefully about this answer.
You know, Tony Kozma and Tom Hartzell, just to be men about it, come up, shake my hand, say, hey, man, we made an example of you. We watched the video. You didn't jump. Hey, we were wrong. We're human. We make mistakes, is what he said. So, you know, say he made a mistake, maybe throw me a little bit of money that he took from me. I don't know. But they'd have to do some work, and they don't seem too concerned about that. They run Ryan Litt off. You know, they've all but run the 50 car off. They don't want to come back. And I think the list is growing of guys who just don't like showing up to a racetrack and paying good money and working long hours and not knowing what they're going to get when they get to the pay window. You know, because I just want to make it clear, I'm not a must-see car. I'm not a Haas car. I'm not an automatic car. I'm a racer, and like I said, I'm the only car who's been at all three series every race. And if there's a race, I'll usually be at it, but, you know, I can't go back right now to a place that treats people like that. So maybe a public apology or something issued in that manner would maybe persuade me. But right now they wouldn't even talk to me after the race. I got told I was disqualified. I tried to dispute it, and then I was told if I kept disputing it or said anything else, I'd be fined. So I mean, aside from taking money from me, they, you know, they want to slap me with a fine, and that doesn't go over too well with me.
All right, well, Troy, I appreciate you joining us under difficult circumstances. Look forward to seeing you later in the month at Berlin up here right by the studio, and it's always fun to talk to you. I just wish it was under better circumstances.
Yeah, PJ, like I said, I just want to say thank you guys for you know, the great report you put out and giving the racers a voice, man. And I feel like, you know, there's a lot of other racers listening right now that wish they could say a lot more, and trust me, so do I. But, you know, we're just going to keep on keeping on, and we appreciate guys like you, and I appreciate, I want to say, my car owner, Dick, and all the guys that helped me, and all the fans who showed up, and hopefully they keep showing up, because I'd like to see wing racing grow, and hopefully we can weed out some of these bad apples.
All right. Thank you, Troy.
See you, man.
All right, Troy DeCare. And just to clarify, I did write the blog on it. This is my take on it. You know, whether the call was right or wrong, that is to the discretion of the officials. And my biggest problem with the entire situation, I mean, the fact that it happened at the race I was covering was a little bit of a bummer, granted. But the biggest problem I had with it is, and not so much, if the Auto Value officials think he jumped, I'm okay with that. Make that call. That's their call to make. You know, I didn't have a clear view of it, so I don't even want to judge whether it happened or not. There's also a part in the rule book that judgment call cannot be disputed. It's pretty much once you make it, it's done. So that part is clearly spelled out, and that's probably why they didn't want Troy, going through that. Otherwise, with all the GoPros and everything going on, you'd be reviewing videos for days of, you know, 13th position. But the only problem I had with this is Kalamazoo Speedway had a full house on Saturday night. This is a racetrack that has struggled in the public eye, publicly, over the winter to gain and got a lot of people behind it. And Auto Value had been rained out there a bunch over the past couple of years. And you look at that, and that place was full Saturday night. It had a great crowd. And it wasn't just your casual sprint car crowd. I mean, there were people with Eastern Storm t-shirts on. There were people with, you know, Eldora t-shirts on. There were people with World of Outlaw t-shirts on. It was as probably, other than the World of Outlaw race, honestly, of the four or five local races I've been to this year, it's probably the hardest core sprint car crowd I've seen at any sprint car race in the state of Michigan all year. And I feel like that crowd deserved to see the winner crossed the finish line. And I really hope, and I plead everyone in that Auto Value boardroom, I know when that rule was making, we didn't have receivers. We didn't have good caution lights. We didn't have good lighting, for that matter. And you're probably on dirt tracks that weren't, you know, taken care of well at that point. We have all these things now. We have all this technology to use to our advantage. Call back the start. Let it decided on the racetrack. Fans don't pay to watch officials officiate. And I think that was the best quote. We want you to enforce the rules, but we want the rule written in a manner that puts the officials in a position and the racers in a position that they're both, you know, not in a bad spot at the end. Because the way the rule's written now, it puts the racers in a bad spot. It puts officials, which, by the way, officials are extremely underpaid, and the best job, best you can hope for at the end of the night is not to get yelled at. It doesn't matter whether you're an announcer, the guy typing the story, whatever. Someone's mad, they're going to find you, and they're going to yell at you. You know, to me, if you put that decision into one person's hands, the one person watching that start, and they are the yay or nay, thumbs up, thumbs down on that decision, it makes it swifter. And not only that, but if you call that start back, it's evening out the penalty. The penalty's not even because, it, you know, if you luck into a caution, that's unfair to the guy who didn't. It's not applied the same way. So with all this technology and all the stuff we have, I believe it would be worthwhile to call back those starts. And I think, you know, you're talking about your front gate customer. And, you know, that name, I compare AVSS a lot to the All-Stars, where that name still has a lot of clout. It pulls a lot of people into the racetrack. And I think it could make it an even better experience for those race fans if that happens. So that's my take on it. And you know what? I can't thank this enough. I want to thank all the teams and everyone at Kalamazoo Speedway, because it was a red carpet welcome for us. And Gary Howe, one of the best in the business, man. That is one of the premier facilities in the country. Don't let this little situation sway you from going out there to a late model race, an enduro, the class is coming up in August, or another sprint car race next year. Get out there. Go out to the quarter midget track. It's a stellar facility as well. You're going to find fewer places nicer than that. And everyone was great over there, and it was a wonderful time. So that's how we're going to finish that up. We're going to take another break, but when we come back, we're going to talk Indiana Sprint Week with what I felt was the best story of the entire week. You're listening to TJ Slideways Live here on racesontheweb.com.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at engineproparts.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro.
If you're looking to add a little edge to your racing program, repair your engine, maybe even look into a new engine, Bailey Racing Engines of Coldwater, Michigan is a fine supporter of TJSlideways.com. Visit them online at BaileyEngines.com or call them at 517-278-8488.
Tired of having black headers that rust and wear out too quickly? Then you need to get some Rocket Headers. Rocket Header produces exhaust for 360 and 410 sprint car engines, dirt and pavement, with mufflers and turnouts. Stainless steel construction, TIG welding, and polished finish make Rocket Headers the best value in the open wheel racing exhaust market. For more information on where to buy Rocket Headers, visit their official website at rocketheaders.com.
TJ Buffenbarger here for the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa. The Hall of Fame continues to promote the future of sprint car racing by preserving its past. The museum is located in Knoxville, Iowa, and is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday from noon to 5 p.m. On race nights, the museum will stay open until 7 o'clock. Don't forget, race fans, one of the best ways that you can support the Hall of Fame is buying a membership. They start at just $25, and a basic membership gets you and a guest free admission to the museum and a 10% discount off in the museum store. Also, check with the Hall of Fame for suite tickets on the second and third floor for the 2013 Knoxville season. You can get information on all of this by going to SprintCarHOF.com, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame.
If you're looking for new or used shocks or repair for your shocks or bump stop kits, make sure to check out Slade Shock Technology. Eric Slade has experience from sprint cars to NASCARs. He was in shocks before it was trendy, and now that's the hot thing in racing. You need to get your shock program in shape. Visit www.sladeshocktechnology.com for everything they offer. Slade Shock Technology. Get with the program. Get your shocks in shape.
There's a buzz in the bleachers, a rumble on the pavement, and the sweet smell of sprint car speed is in the air. As Muncie Racing brings you the fastest short track event on earth, watch as the most daring lead foots in the land stand on the gas and rock it around one of the fastest half miles in America. There are records to be broken and racing royalty in the pits. It's a flat out, foot on the floor sprint car fiesta, and you can't find this brand of adrenaline-soaked action anywhere else.
Friday Night Thunder returns to Oschwegan Speedway for the 2013 season, featuring the Corpac Sprint Car Series, Thunderstocks, Mini Stocks, and bombers every Friday night. For more information, call 888-720-7223 or visit OshwegaSpeedway.com for more information.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at enginepro.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro.
Welcome back to TJ Sideways Live here at racesontheweb.com. Got to thank Tom Hartzell from Troy DeCare for coming on during difficult circumstances and kind of livening up a slow news week. I'm not gonna lie, so it was gonna be a slow news week, and it isn't anymore. But my next guest was the coolest story I think I've covered in a couple of years. No non-wing experience, comes on out to Indiana Sprint Week, and from Texas with his pickup truck. An open trailer, and when we got word of him being there, you know, we interviewed him, and the thing just kind of grew from there, and was one of maybe, you know, it's going to be really hard to top that story the rest of the year, Nathan Moore. And first of all, I want to congratulate you for completing Indiana Sprint Week, and what an adventure it must have been.
Man, I appreciate it. Thank you. It was a lot of fun.
Well, first of all, let's talk about how your previous sprint car racing experience. Before you went on this little adventure, what were you doing in sprint car racing?
I was driving here in Texas. We raced 305 wing race saver cars.
And you did that. So how does a 305 race saver driver from Texas, and there's 305 tracks all over the place down there, how does one decide, I'm going to go to Indiana and race Indiana Sprint Week?
The talent that's in Indiana, you know, everyone hears about it, so I came after the talent.
And you did. And you pulled into Gas City, and my dad, Bob, spotted your truck right away, and we came over, and were you surprised at how much attention you got just from the novelty of where you pulled from, let alone, you know, being there?
Very surprised, especially with all the big names in the pits, and all of a sudden we became quite popular.
And had you even visited any of the tracks? You probably didn't even visit any of the tracks watching before you got there.
No, sir. I have never seen any track in that area other than what I've seen on YouTube videos and stuff like that.
So you put together a non-wing sprint car, and you come up the Indiana Sprint Week, and now you've completed the tour. Do you have a particular favorite track you enjoyed the most? Which one did you think you enjoyed the most during your experience?
I'd have to say Terre Haute. I just like the big speeds.
That makes sense, the Terre Haute, the big track. And like I said, there was lots of people that helped you out during the week, it sounded like, too.
Yes, sir. Actually, that became big deal quickly. A lot of fans, a lot of drivers, a lot of crews, a lot of owners, they all offered a lot of things that I didn't expect.
Were there any drivers that helped you in particular, maybe getting used to some of the racetracks, someone that you could go to for advice?
Casey Schumann and John Stambro helped me the most, I would have to say.
And you put together a non-wing sprint car with a 410 to do this. So, are we going to see you possibly at some more non-wing races, maybe even moving to Indiana?
Yeah, we're going to say that I'll see Indiana here soon. A lot more of it.
Oh, that's cool. Well, Nathan, I really appreciate you joining us and taking time out. You were by far the most fun story I've gotten to cover all year. And do you have any other people to thank?
Yeah, I do. I have a lot of people to thank. B&B Woodworks, I'm going to have to say thanks to them. Moore's Dependable Heating and Air, that's two sponsors that helped us get there. I'm going to have to thank my dad, first and foremost. He's the one that put the car together. He believed in me when nobody else did. My mother, she's always stood behind me with the racing. My wife and my kids for allowing me to be gone for 10 days. All the fans that were there in Indiana, the drivers that, you know, as they took time, you know, throughout the week to come down and say hi, you know, and help along the way, the crews that came down to help, it was quite amazing.
Oh, I can't say enough about this, and I think it's neat, and I think you'd be a great addition to the area, and hopefully we get to see you move to the neighborhood soon.
Man, we'll see you in the future.
All right, well, Nathan, congratulations on finishing Indiana Sprint Week. Oh, did you have anyone that actually traveled with you and helped you out with the deal?
Just my father. Okay. Just my father, yeah.
Well, that will be a father-son trip to remember for a lifetime. Congratulations on completing Indiana Sprint Week. Look forward to being part of the neighborhood, and congratulations.
Hey, man, I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, that's Nathan Moore. And like I said, coolest story ever for you that, if you don't remember or weren't, you know, privy to it, go back through our archives and look at the Indiana Sprint Week notebook, and you'll see pictures of the flatbed open trailer with no tire racks, a barrel of fuel, and a sprint car on it, pulled from Texas and ran Indiana Sprint Week. Well, that's going to conclude this week's edition of TJ Slideways Live. The bubblegum held together long enough for us to complete the show. And I don't know what happened there. Apologize to Tom Hartzell. No sabotage or anything in the middle of the interview. It literally like went click. It'll be interesting to listen to the playback. I think you can hear the computer click and go and reboot as it crashed on us in the middle of the interview. But another great show. And like I said, you know, it's not, you know, the beginning part of the show, I don't like delving into topics like that necessarily, but you know what? Sometimes in my line of work, you got to take the hard questions. You got to just do it and just, you know, just tell it as it, like the, you know, court of public opinion or whatnot, figure out what they want to believe there. And I felt those two guys, you know, back to back could tell it better than I definitely could. So thank you very much for Hartzell and DeCare for joining us, and also Nathan Moore. So once again, we'll do it again, 8:00 on Monday. Next week, and we're going to start looking towards the Knoxville Nationals. Look forward to seeing you get there, and if you get a chance, go out to the races this weekend. Good night.